This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Your first passage for the teaching time this morning will be Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. And the reason I believe this is what we're supposed to talk about today is because of everything that's going on, the confusion the world seems to be in, the swirl of activity and the panic surrounding the coronavirus being labeled a pandemic, which by the way means an epidemic that's spread to other continents around the world. And we wonder what's going on. Why is this happening? Well, Ephesians 1:11 tells us, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." So you might ask, well, does that mean God is afflicting the world with this virus for some purpose? What it means is that he's allowing it to happen, but it is not without reason. It is not without a purpose. There is not just some random occurrence happening. It's not just, you know, bursting on the scenes out of control. Because God is still sovereign. He's still on his throne. And he's still taking care of things. So we can know that even in the middle of all of this, God's will is being done. And everything that's happening happens according to the counsel of his will. So we can rest easy in that in a way because we know that there's nothing happening that's outside of God's control. And that should give us a measure of comfort to know that God's still in charge and he's still in control, even though it looks like he may not be. So does that give everybody a little bit of encouragement anyway?
Yes.
Oh, good. Now, the other question is, why has he called us to serve him? We might be wondering that too at times, like, oh God, you know, why me? Well, according to this verse, he's called you into salvation, and he's called you to serve him so that you can be a part of him fulfilling his will. Did you understand that? That means that you, Christ the King Church, has a part in God's will being fulfilled. Because he does everything according to the counsel of his will. So that means all of us in this church, even though we're in remote locations today, all of us in this church have been called to be a part of God fulfilling his will. And I think that's pretty cool, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, some of you guys don't sound too sure, even over the microphone. All right. Now, there's another reason that the Lord called each one of us to walk with him and serve him. And we find that in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. That's Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Now, I'm going to start with verse 13. "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach." Think about that. Jesus called all those 12 guys so that they could primarily, and this is not a mistake that this is in the first position in the sentence, so that they could be with him. So how does that relate to us? What that means is he has called us so that we can be with him, so that we can spend time with him, so that we can be in his presence. And that means a lot to the Lord for us to be with him and for him to spend time with us. There's this popular Christian song that was out a few years ago that says, where the chorus was, you know, Jesus saying, "I miss my time with you." And he was saying that to a guy who had been neglecting his devotion time. But that should strike us as, you know, really powerful, at the same time as maybe even a little strange. But Jesus, when we don't spend our time with him, he misses our time with him. Because he called us to be with him. And he called us according to the counsel of his will. Now you say, well, Jesus called those 11 apostles, and then he called Judas too. And yeah, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. So why would he call Judas? He calls Judas too, strangely, so that God's will can be fulfilled. You see, if Judas had not betrayed Jesus, Jesus would not have gone to the cross, and Jesus would not have paid our price for our sin. So even Judas served a purpose in terms of God's will. Do we understand that? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. We understand that even Judas helped fulfill God's will. Strange as that may seem. And no, Judas was, God didn't force Judas to betray Jesus. Judas had his own part in that. Because, you know, remember, God knows everything. And he knew that Judas would betray Jesus. So he called him anyway, knowing that he would do that. But that was a part of what God's will was, so that Jesus could die on the cross. You know, everything goes back to that. You know, we can talk about the gospel and talk about the gospel and talk about the gospel, but without, think about it, without Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, there is no gospel. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the next verse that we're going to use today for this is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. And those verses read, "And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Everyone likes to quote that verse and say, we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God. And they try to say that that means that all things work together for good. But we can't leave off that last few words from that sentence. To those who love God. Those who are his, those who follow him, all things are going to work together for good. Amen?
Amen.
Now, think about that. We've talked about everything being done according to the counsel of his will. So he called us according to his purpose. His purpose. We are all called according to God's purpose. So that means we all have a purpose. But we're all called, as we said earlier, to be a part of the fulfillment of God's will. So you, and you, listening here this morning, every one of us has a part in fulfilling God's ultimate will. And I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty cool, because it gives us a reason to know that we're here for a purpose. We're not here for no particular reason. He also foreknew us. He also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That means he wants us to be like Jesus. So that should be our main objective in life. Everything we do should be done with the purpose of trying to be more like Jesus. And this is really cool here. Whom he predestined, those he also called. So he's called us. And he called us, he also justified us. Means he forgave all of our sin and declared us righteous. And he's going to glorify us. Think about that too. It's God's will for us to eventually be in glory. And what this verse tells us here is that, again, as we've talked before several times, I believe, our salvation has three parts to it. We're saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. The first one is we've been saved from our sin. We are being saved. That's the sanctification part, where God's working out his will in us, purging us of those things that don't belong. Remember, a few weeks ago we talked about the CAT scan, where the CAT scan goes and looks around. It's sort of like the Holy Spirit, that contrast dye, looks around to find stuff that shouldn't be there. Well, that's what he's doing now. He's sending his Holy Spirit to work in us, to try to find all of those things inside of each one of us that shouldn't be there. And he's in the process now of sanctification. So in this process, we are being saved. And one of those days when he calls us home, that's the glorified part. And that's part of his will too. He has called us into glory. And that's his ultimate will, is to bring his children, that's you and me, to bring his children into glory. So one of these days when this world fades away, or he calls us home, whichever comes first, we'll be able to look upon the Lord's face and see that glorious radiance of his countenance and just bask in that sense of overwhelming love that he's going to pour out onto each one of us when we cross that, you know, spiritual River Jordan, as it were, and step into glory. That's the ultimate fulfillment of what Paul wrote to be the counsel of the Lord's will. That's the ultimate purpose. Yes, for us to fulfill his will now, but ultimately his purpose and plan is for us to meet him in glory one of these days. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that these words we have studied this morning will grant faith and courage into our hearts. Lord, we pray right now that we will come to see the value of the fact and the truth and the reality that we have been created for your will and for your purpose, that none of our lives are meaningless, that we do have a reason for being here. And the number one reason of those is to fulfill your will for this world. But also, Lord, give us more faith to know that you are continuing your work inside of us, that you are working to save us, you're working to sanctify us, and your ultimate desire is to glorify us, Lord, so we can spend eternity with you. So, Father, even in the midst of all of the turmoil going on around us, we can know and have faith that we're here, we're part of your plan, that no life is meaningless, and that we will be a part of seeing your will come about in this world. Grant us that peace, Lord, and that strength and that extra measure of faith to believe. And we pray these things, Father, in Jesus' mighty, holy, and wonderful name. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.